Hi, I'm Nicole Ferraro, and this is The Divide, a podcast from Light Reading exploring the ongoing digital divide, why and where it still exists, and what needs to be done to get people everywhere connected to reliable, high-speed internet. Today, I am joined by Joey Wender, director of the Capital Projects Fund at the U.S. Treasury Department, where he is responsible for allocating $10 billion in funding to states for broadband deployment. We first had Joey on the podcast last year when the Treasury Department had allocated its first $5 billion from that fund. Now, with nearly $10 billion in funding allocated to every state, we catch up on all of that funding, including how his department is tracking it, how far those funds will go toward closing the digital divide in the U.S., and more. Joey, welcome back to the podcast. It's great to see you. How you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm very excited to get to talk with you today about all of the great work that you guys have been doing at the Treasury Department to dole out broadband funds. But first, let me just give you an opportunity to just introduce yourself and what you do at the Treasury Department for anyone who may be unfamiliar.
Thanks, Nicole. So, Joey Wender, I'm the director of the Capital Projects Fund. For those who don't know, the Capital Projects Fund is a $10 billion fund that was created by the American Rescue Plan. And the intent is to close the digital divide, right? It's to bring connectivity to places where it hasn't been. And the origin story is the pandemic, right? Remember that the American Rescue Plan was a COVID relief bill. And it was the pandemic that truly was the national teaching moment, right? You and I knew, and most of them, sure, your listeners knew that broadband is essential. Yeah. But, you know, the moment we were all stuck at home, it became so apparent and so clear that, you know, to effectively work, education, healthcare, communicating with friends and family, you had to have high-speed internet. Yeah. And that's why Congress made a down payment on bringing this $10 billion down payment on bringing affordable, reliable, high-speed internet to all Americans.
Thank you for that history. Let me add a little bit more, which is that your funding came from the American Rescue Plan. And then we have the big program, the Broadband Equity Access and Deployment Program, $42.5 billion, which was passed as part of the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. And that had overall $65 billion in broadband funding for it. And that's what's been getting a lot of the attention. But I wanted to talk to you because you guys at the Treasury Department have been steadily awarding this $10 billion in capital projects funding, much of which has already been awarded by the states and is being deployed. So the Biden administration has already done quite a bit of work to deploy broadband and toward this goal of closing the digital divide. So I wanted to bring you on here to kind of talk about the state of that program, how far you guys have gone, and some takeaways. But last time you were on this podcast, because I've had the great fortune of having you on here twice now, it was about a year ago. We met at the ACA Connects conference in DC, and you guys had just finished awarding basically the first $5 billion of the $10 billion that you've allocated. So I wanted to have you on here today, a year later, to tell me where are you at now? How much of that $10 billion has officially been awarded?
Great question. The answer is we're approaching $10
billion. Woohoo!
Well over. Thank you. Thank you. The big crowd behind me is cheering. We have approved well over $9.5 billion. So we're nearing the end here. We know that these investments will result in at least 2 million reliable high-speed internet connections to homes and businesses around the country, which is really a, you know, when you think about it, that's a pretty tremendous down payment that comes even before the BEAD money hits the street. So that's what we've done in terms of awarding the money. Now, as you alluded to, Nicole, then it's in the hands of states. States are the ones to run RFPs, essentially put out to bid work. And ISPs of large and small, public and private, ILECs, CLECs, cable companies, co-ops, you know, we want an all of the above approach are able to bid on this work. And we know that in over half the states, not only have awards been made to ISPs, but work is underway. In fact, work is being completed on a handful of projects in a number of states. And as we approach now, you know, the ground, I should say, is thawing in the northern states, and the construction season is about to start. We know that work will be underway in most, if not all, states by this summer.
That's pretty significant that you're able to say that. For the remaining funds from the $10 billion that haven't been awarded yet, when do you expect to make those announcements?
Soon. We're nearing the end. Yep.
I'll take soon as an answer. Has every state and territory already gotten some portion of their funding?
Yes.
Or is okay. So this is just, is it still deployment funding that's to be awarded, or is it community facility types of funding?
It's an assortment, right? I mean, just remember, we did not use a first in, first out approach, mm-hmm. right? We used a let the cream rise to the top approach and approve them on a rolling basis. So obviously, you know, what's left was either applications that came in at the end of the process, have needed to be revised, or the most challenging. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, got it. Okay. So after you guys make the announcements of, you know, state X is getting X million dollars to they're approved for their capital projects funding, what level of involvement does your office have in the rest, in the grant process and in the deployment process?
Well, you know, a lot of people keep saying, oh, you're all done, right? You just put your feet up now that you've approved, quote unquote, approved all the money. And the answer is no. We have a very robust, you know, compliance regime. You know, we require quarterly reporting and annual reporting of different sorts by all states so that we can monitor their progress. You know, the two key things to keep in mind here are, one, you know, just because we've approved the money, that doesn't mean we actually send the actual funds out, right? We approve, meaning we greenlight states to proceed, to put out to bid, to approve, you know, to award contracts and, you know, awards to ISPs, and to tell ISPs, go ahead, start building, pick up a shovel, right? Attach some fiber. But we don't actually send money to states until costs are incurred on the ground and states are needed to, you know, pay ISPs for work already done. And so, you know, we're monitoring compliance and implementation very closely to ensure that, you know, money flows out only to the extent to which that work is completed.
Can you tell me how much money has actually gone out?
I sure can. Our outlays are at this point over $500 million.
Okay, great. Okay.
And it is increasing exponentially month over month.
And are there any hurdles or surprises that are coming up in that process of checking the compliance and all of that before you're able to dole out the money?
Well, there's no surprises. But I think the thing to keep in mind is, in essence, it's 50 different programs, right? It's not one different program. And so each state is running its own program tailored to its own critical needs that it saw in its states. And so not any one or not any two programs, state programs, are the same. There might be a lot of similarities, but they're not the same. And so we have to work individually with each state to ensure that they continue to comply with our rules, with our guidelines, and that they, you know, essentially stay on schedule and complete by the end of 2026.
Right. So you guys got some pushback early on for your commitment to fiber-focused builds, as the NTIA is continuing to get some pushback. Considering you've awarded so much of the funding and so much of it has already gone out, and in terms of states awarding it, how do you feel about that commitment you made to fiber now? And is there anything that's come up in terms of delays with projects or any worries that have actually come to fruition that make you feel like maybe fiber wasn't the best choice? How do you feel about that decision?
I feel great about the decision. Right? I feel great about the decision because we've gotten very little pushback, almost no pushback at all to our high speed standard, right? We're the only agency that is requiring 100 symmetrical.
Yeah.
And there were many, there were naysayers early on that said, oh, you're going to get a lot of pushback to that. That's really hard to do. It's been essentially crickets on that front. Right. Providers are ready, willing, and able to provide that level of service.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing I'll say about fiber versus fixed wireless is we're very explicit in our guidance that we allow for fixed wireless in mm-hmm. cases where geography, topography, excessive costs results in the, I should say, either inability or inefficiency of deploying fiber. Mm-hmm. And there are a number of states that are taking advantage of that provision in our guidance that we'll be spending our money on fixed wireless. Yeah. And so I do think by allowing that flexibility, we can both emphasize fiber, deploy a large portion of our money for fiber, but also are allowing, you know, fixed wireless in places where that makes most sense.
Right. Yeah. And it seems like the BEAD program aims to do a similar thing. Right. So I want to talk a little bit, since you just mentioned high costs, about the Affordable Connectivity Program, because the ACP, where you and I are speaking on April 23rd, so we're, you know, about seven-ish, eight-ish days out from the program running out of full funding. It'll go to partial funding in the month of May, and with no further action from Congress or otherwise, the program will end. My understanding is that all of your providers that are, you know, winning grants from the Capital Projects Fund are participating in the ACP, or they're required to participate in.
They're required. They have to.
Okay. Right. Yeah. So
No pushback.
Right. Yes. Well, the you know, that gets to my other point, which is that the ACP does help providers, you know, get to deploy in these areas that are higher cost or low income, because that means that they can actually sustain a deployment over time and afford to serve these areas. So without the ACP, what does that mean for all of this funding that you've deployed?
Well, Nicole, you've made my point mostly. I have said and emphasized for over a year that if the ACP runs out of funding, there will be a cascading effect on both low-income households and on providers. Mm-hmm. You just talked about providers, and it is true. We need sustainable business models as providers are going to some of the hardest-reach communities in the country. And ACP undoubtedly plays an important role in ensuring there is a sustainable business model. On the other side, it's, to use a very eloquent and complex term, it is bad. It is very bad for the tens of millions of households that cannot afford internet at home. Right? We know. Study after study after study that internet connectivity does lift boats. It improves economic outcomes, health outcomes, education outcomes. And if the ACP does run out of money, these low-income households will again be at a huge disadvantage and will be stuck on the other side of what you described at the beginning as this digital divide.
Absolutely. But what do we do now? Because we're basically out of time. I, too, have been banging the drum on this for a while.
You know, I worked in Congress for 13 years. Mm-hmm. And so, one, I know or I'm smart enough to never predict what Congress is going to do.
Right.
That being said, I am very worried. And I think it's important that members of Congress hear from their constituents and from providers and from everybody else in our ecosystem how important the program is. And all I could do is agree emphatically with the White House's call for additional money. and hope that Congress finds a way to continue the ACP into the future.
So you're not just running through the halls of Congress when you have like a 10-minute break screaming, save the ACP. That's what I was hoping.
Anytime someone gives me a microphone, I talk about how important the ACP is and how necessary it is. Again, and I know NTIA has said it, Alan has said it as well, right? The ACP, a continued ACP, greatly and directly benefits deployment programs like the Capital Projects Fund or like BEAD.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. ACP is supposed to be a significant part of what makes BEAD work.
Absolutely.
So we will see what happens, I guess. Although you guys are sitting in the Treasury Department, do you have any like $7 billion just sitting around over there that you could throw to the ACP?
No, people like to keep asking that. No.
All right. I had to ask, you know, just in case I'm checking my couch cushions, but coming up.
Yeah, that's
short.
A lot of coins that make up $7 billion.
Yeah. And I have an IKEA couch, so the cushions don't even come out. It's a whole convertible thing. Anyway, so, all right. So, whatever. We will continue to hope that Congress gets its act together or that another miracle comes along. So, We're talking about the NTIA a little bit. I'm curious about what level of collaboration there is between your department and Alan Davidson's department at the NTIA. Are they trying to learn from you guys since you went first? And what do you hope that they take away from your what you guys have done already?
Sure. First, there's a tremendous amount of collaboration. You know, I'll point to the fact that there's a voluntary MOU that's been entered into by Treasury, Commerce, the Department of Agriculture, and the FCC. And I think it's important to emphasize that MOU and its results, because in many ways, this is the most important piece of the coordination. The MOU we signed a couple years ago governs reporting. There was a recognition when our program began that it was necessary to collect a common set of data, of information about where we're spending our money. And the form that is taken is the broadband funding map at the FCC. As you know, the broadband funding map shows every place in the country that a federal program has spent money on deploying high-speed internet. And so we work tirelessly with the FCC, with Commerce, with NTIA, and with Ag, with USDA, to ensure that every location that is served as a result of the Treasury dollars will be on that map. And we've already submitted to that map over a couple hundred thousand locations. You know, there's no better way to coordinate. Right. And the proof is right there for the public to see of this tremendous coordination that we are actively requesting and requiring, I should say, in the quarterly reporting that we discussed earlier in this podcast, this information directly from states so that all these locations can be on the map. And that's relevant not just for BEAD, that's relevant for enhanced ACAM, that's relevant for Reconnect at USDA, that's relevant for all federally funded programs. And I'm really proud that our locations are on the map and that number will only increase, you know, as we go through subsequent reporting rounds with states.
Indeed. So I want to let you go in a couple of minutes here because you have far more important work to do than to sit here and talk to me on a screen. But I'm going to close out with a personal question and a political question. So a double whammy here for you. My personal question is, what have you personally learned about the digital divide in the United States by having this job for the past couple of years? And my political question is, of course, we're in an election year, and of course, you work as part of the Biden administration. So how do you intend to, or how do you get the word out about the fact that this work has been done? And are you planning to make some public show of the fact that all of this broadband money has been deployed during the Biden administration, even though so much focus is on the BEAD program?
Sure. I'll take them in order.
Okay.
So what have I learned? You know, I've learned that Congress was very smart, and that doesn't get said every day.
Right? I certainly don't say that.
Congress was smart to empower states to run their own broadband programs.
Yeah.
Right. I said earlier that I'm overseeing 50 programs, not one. And I truly believe that the net results will be far better than had we run one singular program, one size, you know, fits all program from here. You know, every state is different, not just in terms of topography or geography. They're different in terms of the suite of providers that exist there, historic coverage, historic service. And I think it's good that states are able to, you know, tailor and craft programs that address their critical needs. And so, you know, it's hard sitting here in D.C. to admit that D.C. does not know best, I should say. But I've realized it and accepted it. And I think that the results is empowering states to do some tremendous work out there. And the results are already coming in, and it's very exciting. I'd say on the second piece, you know, I think the results will speak for themselves, right? We did go with the president down to Raleigh a couple months ago to make a big announcement in North Carolina about the investment that we're making down there. And I think you'll be seeing all across the country examples of great broadband projects being lifted up, and examples of how this trifecta of partnerships, the feds, state and local, and the private sector, are coming together to serve the hardest areas and to close the digital divide once and for all.
All right. I will let you leave it there then. Thank you so much, Joey, for your time today and for all the great work you're doing to close the digital divide.
Thanks, Nicole, for the time.
Thank you again, Joey, for joining me. Thank you as well to our producer for this episode, Mark Pagan. Be sure to subscribe to the Light Reading Podcast for more episodes of The Divide, as well as interviews and insights from the Light Reading team. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.